Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. You are used to fun, frothy news you can use to help you get a better handle on your money. We're going to begin today's show with something a little different in terms of tone and in terms of topic. And it's important. So stay with me here. Awareness around different kinds of abuse is really important. Awareness is such an important first step. One kind that is not often talked about, though, is economic abuse. What does the phrase mean? Who does it affect? And what can be done about it? Meseret Haliousis is the executive director of the Canadian Centre for Women's Empowerment. She joins us now from Ottawa to talk about it. Hello there.
Hello.
What do you mean when you use the phrase economic abuse?
Thank you so much for inviting me. So economic abuse is it's a form of family violence or gender-based violence, which is underreported, underrecognized, and such just form of violence that often accompanied by, you know, other form of abuse, including physical, psychological, and emotional abuse. So economic abuse is a very complex because there's emotion, there's a physical violence, and also other form of violence also included. But there are some signs, the way it manifests. For example, like it happens, you know, when domestic partner interferes, access to finance of their partner, and sometimes when also the perpetrator or abuser, you know, prohibits the victims to use a credit card, writing check, accessing, you know, marital account, preventing the victim career advancement, and sabotaging also employment is also a tactic of, you know, economic abuse. As I say, it's very broad. It also includes some of the economic resource, so which is including controlling, you know, using phone. Phone is also a communication. Accessing transportation services. Refuse to control, to contribute costs for child support. Even sometimes generates, you know, financial costs without consent, such as like, you know, fraudulently racking up a credit card, you know, date in the partner names. It, you know, it's a lot of things out like.
For whom is this, who is the most vulnerable to economic abuse? Because when we think about, you know, physical abuse for women in relationships, I know, and the data would say that that can present in households far and wide and at all levels of the income environment in this country. When it comes to economic abuse, is it clustered towards particular income groups, or what have you learned on that front?
So from our even research and from our day-to-day work, this is a hidden form of violence. It affects everyone with regardless of your social class, but women who come from Black, Indigenous, and gender diverse community and newcomers, refugees, they are highly impacted by financial and economic abuse because of the systemic barrier. And also we believe that economic abuse is a systemic problem in our society, which we are severely lacking the infrastructure to address.
When you say it's systematic, what do you mean?
Yeah, so one of the challenges for survivors of gender-based violence to leave the abusive relationship is, you know, accessing, you know, economic resource. So in this situation, perpetrators deliberately women finance. So finance would be the critical barrier to leave that situation. So unfortunately, we don't have a very strong systems and policy and then program in our financial institution. So what we have seen is when a woman, facing such form of violence, they prefer to run to the bank or, you know, any financial institution to access those kind of services. So what we heard even recently, some of our financial institutions, they don't have a trauma-informed, violence-informed, even customer care. So this is one of the systemic barriers. The other is like, you know, many women who have gone through such form of violence, they don't have a good credit. Their credit is destroyed by the perpetrator. So it's very hard for them to secure an apartment. As you know, in Ontario, if I want to have like any kind of like, you know, asset or even going back to school, you know, you have to pay your registration of your credit card. So many women, they don't have that access because their credit is destroyed. They are not eligible for, to go back to school, to go back to even the workforce, and even to get the housing, because the requirement even to get the housing, you should have cosigner, you should have deposit sometimes. And, women are out of, from, any support. So this has a systemic barrier. And the other systemic barrier is accessing phone, transportation, for example, you have a phone services, and if you don't pay for 2-3 months, the phone companies, they will terminate, your phone service. Phone is also one of the economic resources for a woman to communicate, to talk to her doctor, to talk to the social worker. So in this case as well, women will be trapped because this has a systemic issue every woman they face. And then even to eligible also for social services, there's a lot of requirements. So many women, they are not qualified. For example, if you have a joint asset, let's say in Saskatoon or in Saskatchewan, and you live in Ontario, but still you have an asset with your abuser. So when you come to another province, you are not eligible to get even housing. It's very, very complicated, So it's a lot of systemic issues that women keep them not to even generate their income and then not to survive and recover from this kind of violence.
What are some of the signs that people in the helping professions, friends and family, people in the community, what could they have their eye open for? And I know it is so oversimplified to be, watching for signs of physical abuse in partnerships, but I can imagine it's even more difficult to discern what's going on when it comes to economic abuse, because there's not going to be a physical bruise on your face.
Yeah, you're right. This is a multi-layered,
this kind of thing, a multi-layered, intervention, I totally agree, specifically for service providers. Definitely we need to ask the women's financial situation, which is very important, especially before they leave abusive situation. We need to educate women on how they could protect, their password, electronic signature. These are the most frequently, asked, issues actually by many even professionals. So these are the most important thing we need to ask them. And also it's good also to teach women, what are the healthy and then unhealthy financial relationship. If someone puts you in date, you have to make sure that if that is the date you signed, paper has to be you should have the awareness. Sometimes, there's a lot of fraudulent activities also done behind the scene. And the other things also, if someone's goes through with financial struggle, specifically in a violent situation, that's also red flag. So we need to check and we need to ask them, how do they save? How do they have also any financial literacy skill? I think those are the most important things to protect women. Yeah.
Very briefly, I'm afraid we're out of time. Very briefly before we go, if you had to choose one call to action, what would it be?
So my call to action to end economic abuse across Canada, definitely more than ever, policymakers and advocates, private stakeholders, they have to come together and then address this issue. This issue is not only a social service issue or government issue. This is a business issue. We talk about economy, all about business. So I would like to, ask all leaders, specifically leaders among financial institutions, hydro and then electronic companies, those agencies who provide also other services like essential service for a woman, they should have a plan and policy and a program as well for survivors of gender-based violence. So these are the most important thing. And we learned it also from many other countries. By doing this, they just made a huge change.
Meseret, thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you so much for having me.
Meseret Haliousis is the executive director of the Canadian Center for Women's Empowerment. The focus of our conversation today is a phrase we don't talk a lot about: economic abuse.